So when I'm out looking, want to maximize what I'm getting for my spend. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking for stacks of like good software suite of like, make sure it has all the toys in there in one spot. So I'm not going and getting HR software here, but then that's separate from my staffing software, my scheduling software, and then like payrolls on one thing. And then there are these things should all be talking, especially the, like those three examples right there should 100% live under the same umbrella, like because they should be talking to each other. So that
way, are you focused more on money or on what they do?
Restaurants, the final frontier. These are the podcasts from the crew of USS Yes Chef Productions. Our mission is to explore and share lessons, stories, and anecdotes, giving an inside look at the restaurant industry. This series, we'll be diving into the technology that runs our business and the tools we can use to improve them. This is Restaurants Unconfidential. This episode is Software and Hard Nights. This is the digital tools for your tool belt. We are Restaurant Unconfidential. I'm Norwood.
I'm Javier.
And I'm Alondra.
And we are here to talk about software and the industry.
nice.
The quick fire, Javier, what tech changed the way you looked at everything just kind of going forward? What was your technological aha moment?
For me, it was when integration started. That's when I started seeing all of the tech play together because it didn't make sense for me to have it on its own island.
Mm-hmm.
That was a big one for me. How about you?
When I really learned how to like Excel wasn't just that one like table and it was actually you can have things and you can use it to scale things up and stuff and like so many it was such a tool to like that means like oh like, there's more teeth and all like all this software and stuff and that like. Yeah, that opened up scaling things. That opened up so many windows. Like,
that was pre-integration. That's a good one.
Yeah. So, digital technology is a set of tools that are new and yet as important as the stove and your chef's knives. It's always adapting, and we're going to dive into what it is and how you can and should be using it. We're uploading a handful of topics in today's episode, focusing on software and the basics you should be looking for and how you should be applying it. We'll start by highlighting some of the key ways you should be using software and the key spots that you should be using it to help yourself out. We'll talk about how to find the right software, how to avoid bad software. We'll talk about who's creating the software for you, too. Finally, we'll close things out by having a resident culinary technocrat talk about what we think are the must for culinary tech and a breakdown of some of the reasonings for including and not including features in his culinary management software. Hint, it's the guy right next to me out here.
I'm excited on this one.
So get your beeps and boops in order because it is a Restaurant Unconfidential.
Yes.
Great, let's get started. Javier, you need help everywhere you can find it in a busy restaurant. Where can tech help?
Well, the first thing that I think tech really jumped into helping wise for a restaurant owner was scheduling. That was you have a lot of players in it, a lot of employees, a lot of things that you're shuffling, time schedules and things. So scheduling, I would say, is number one. More recently, inventory. We're seeing food prices skyrocket. And so it's controlling the food costs.
That's such an important spot.
It's an important spot. And not only controlling your product, but then...
But just see what's going on, too. Not just...
Gives you a good
tech
picture.
It lays it all out in front of you. Mm-hmm. And it's like, versus like, all right, now I got to run in the back, see what we got. I got to go look and physically touch things, count things.
Yeah.
This feels like it's almost like the Stone Age at that point compared to what it is now.
Compared to back in the day, that's what we did. We ran around and just counted by hand everything. Nowadays, I mean, it's set up. Talking about integrations, we'll get into that. But it's set up for easier management when it comes to inventory. Reports and tracking data, that's big. Yeah. I used to have to, go and spend half hour to click through my POS to get a simple report now that gets right there in front on a dashboard for me.
Yeah, and it's like greasing the wheels makes you actually use it too.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest thing, because if it's hard to use and hard to even find that info, if you're busy, you're not using it.
And no, and it was my excuse of like why I wasn't using it. I got to dig around to find it. Now it's in your face. If you're not using it, you're silly.
What kind of things like popped out? that were like the first things that like, all right, now that I have this data, let me start applying it?
Oh, that's a good question. A lot of it was headcount and when people were coming into my place.
That's so
I had no clue because I had created my schedule on me thinking because I was there at a specific time when
getting
I needed
the help.
Getting
away from empirical evidence, getting the real data and saying what you think is going on.
I realized I'm leaving this place and my dinner crew's getting slammed even busier than I was.
Yeah.
And it wasn't fair to them. They wouldn't complain because they're like, Javier needs the afternoon off. He's working a lot. But it wasn't fair. I'm like, I'm actually focusing on the wrong times with the wrong customers.
Exactly. If you're the strongest tool in the toolkit, why are you using yourself when you're half as busy as you are? Yep. Like, where you can really make that impact. And then
that's the data people need in order to succeed. Let me see. What else? I got connecting front and back of house systems. This is a good one for you because I was really, really focused on front of house, on all that management. How did you connect the two? What do you think?
Yeah, when you can connect that back in front of the house, like that's when you can smooth like that communication. And so like as a chef, knowing that getting counts and stuff like that up front, especially if you're doing specials and things like that, the last thing you want to do is take that surprise and delight moment of like, oh, I'm getting a cool thing that's off menu, and then having the server come back and like, actually, I know you're really excited about that, but
and if we don't,
let me just dump some water on your fire and like,
here, it's already out of the kitchen.
Yeah, exactly. So little things like that, just so, smoothing the communication, and then also like being able to look at your numbers and what you're doing versus like how much food and stuff product is moving. Mm-hmm. And so like looking at those numbers, making sure they check out and stuff. And it's stuff that like without tech, being able to kind of smooth that and make it a little easier to look at all those things, it'd be super difficult to see like, all right, let me go look at the books. Let me go look at what I sold, inventory. Let me do this, that, these things that take, you know, time that adds up. And to make it a daily routine, it's like you're talking about hours every day just disappearing that you just don't have.
And like for me, the analytics, that's the next one I was going to get into. I would dig into the analytics when I was redoing the menu or when I was revisiting the menu. Not only the pricing, but what products were there. And so I got into this whole, if there's a product that I have on the menu that's selling less than 3%, it's off.
Yeah.
Because I'm selling, you know, I don't need to store that product. I don't need to have those extra SKUs. And training my employees, I don't need to even train them on that. It's less headaches for everybody.
Exactly. It's a good way to identify your workhorses, your dogs, your stars on your menu.
Yep.
And then, if it's not working, sorry, it's not, you know, it's sit the menu down and talk to that like one item. You're like, you know what? It's, you know, it's not working out, or paths like aren't going in the same direction. You're not going to be with us anymore.
Yeah. And I would get a lot of complaints from it. Like my staff would be like, what do you mean? I have a lot of customers that like that. You're like, look at the analytics.
No, you don't. I'm looking at the numbers right here. Yeah. Fred that comes in on Thursday.
Yeah. That tips you really good. He might be mad. Yeah. But it's not working for us. And then employee management. That's the one I really focused on, was more of the, when I was onboarding, I opened up 6 restaurants pretty quick. And so it was a lot of onboarding staff. And then I had restaurants in college towns. So I literally 1 year went through sending out 100 tax forms because I'd gone through 100 employees. And then I did the math over 6 years, 1,000 employees. I'm like, wow, I got to get better at onboarding. Being, you know, stuck between, I was between a Jamba Juice and a Starbucks at one location. That's when I realized they're finding really good talent because of their systems and how they're onboarding them, how they're training them from the beginning. That's how people want to be. You don't feel like you're successful at your business until you've been trained right.
Yeah.
And I was missing the boat on all that.
Yeah. And then California being a spot where, you know, labor laws are very serious and like, if you're not getting the people's like HR stuff in line and stuff, you can be on the hook for it. So when you say you have 1,000 employees,
that was a huge thing.
I got $100 a pop. Yeah. That ends up being, when I was at the Chase Center, it wasn't because of us, but my first year there, a lot of our union guys were getting a payout from a big lawsuit like that. Yeah. Was just a lot of missing hours, and they were getting, you know, someone were getting like over 10 grand.
Yeah.
Like it's, yeah. And so, and that's union too. So that's like, you know, hundreds of people.
And a lot of times for me, it's not that you're doing something wrong. No, you just don't know.
You're busy.
And you're busy. You have 1,000 balls in there.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. You can't keep track of everything. And one slips through and it's going to cost you that.
And the same thing when you're able to look at every bit of like an employee's track record, because we know the squeaky wheel is the one that gets attention. Yeah. I guess the oil, but like when you have those great employees, how do you track their positive effort and everything?
Why aren't you giving them love
exactly
when they should be? But then they don't complain about it. They don't. I lost a lot of great employees because of that. And then afterwards, I was like, what? I thought they were perfect. I thought they were happy. I'm like, But I wasn't giving them any attention. I wasn't actually telling them they were great.
They're like, yeah, I'm in here quietly busting my butt and I'm not getting a raise. And
this guy doesn't know. Right.
This person that's complaining, but coming in, like, see them come in late every other week and stuff. And then
for me, that was it. The reviews, the write-ups, the raises, tracking all of that. And also on the other, sometimes, you know, you get an employee saying, I need a raise. And you have now analytics you can pull up and information. You go, look, you've been late every other week. If you before you weren't really tracking all of that. Yeah. So yeah, it goes back to that.
Yeah. So it seems like there's 100 versions of what looks like the same software out there, and they claim to all be the best. How do you find the right software, Norwood?
So when I'm out looking, wanna maximize what I'm getting for my spend. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking for stacks of like good software suite of like make sure it has all the toys in there in one spot. So I'm not going and getting HR software here, but then that's separate from my staffing software, my scheduling software, and then like payrolls on one thing. And then there are these things should all be talking, especially like those three examples right there should 100% live under the same umbrella, like because they should be talking to each other. So that way,
you focus more on money or on what they do, like the cost of the
software? I think this a good software like pays for itself down the road. One thing, it needs to be reasonable for like what, you know, mom and pop should be. So if it needs to have different like pay models or something like that, then that should be approachable. Something to where if it's mom and pop, they should be able to get in there. If it's someone that has 100 restaurants, there should be a model so that makes it approachable for everyone.
Yeah.
So that we have a bit of equity in that like space. So that way everyone's able to use that good software. Well, answer your question. I think, you know, pay what it should be paying for what's, but also, you know, if you're paying well, then, you know, you should own your software that you're using versus a subscription model. If you're lower on the front end, like those things should kind of even out. You shouldn't have to be paying like a big upfront and kind of like we were talking before about those big clunky old DOS based point of sales systems where it's like, and they're charging you a couple grand to set those up. And but then every month it's also a couple grand because the subscription stuff. So you can't be like that charging on both ends, but you got
a lot of those
out.
Models are dying, but okay.
Another way, look, find software that has demos and get your hands dirty and actually run through the demo. Make sure it works for you because there is a lot of software out there. And so you can find the one that works best for you and then make sure that option like integrates with your other technology and stuff. But demos, actually using them and not just like getting it, kind of looking at it. Look at what's base for your service. And look for good tips and examples. Forums, going out to trade stuff is always good. Talking to what your neighbor's using.
Yeah, trade shows are great. Let's go back to that. Walked around in a trade show and got to do 6 demos in one, one city. And you compare them right then and there.
Yeah, exactly. And you have people that can answer questions about them.
Right. Even about their competitor because they're in the same room. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yep.
Subscription-based, owning outright, contractual, like how easy it is to get in and out of contracts. That's main. Oh, and then if I can use my own hardware, that's kind of the last thing.
There
you go. If it's software coming on, so that was a big selling point for like Square, especially early on. It's like if you already have a tablet or a phone, you can jump onto our software.
Yeah.
Ease of like entry of like that stuff, like making sure. And then one last thing, is it usable and are there things that I can train my staff with?
Right. What's it usable, like training usable tools for? Is it for the management like or is it for staff?
Yeah.
Yep. Nice.
So if these things are what you're looking for with good software, Javier, how do you avoid bad software?
Yeah. Okay, so tech can be like a game of telephone with one idea being great and then other iterations being poor and poor clones of that idea. But I'd be careful with, if you see free, if you see, hardware even given to you, nothing is free. There's going to be some tied strings and some things on that. So do your homework. Like you said, get out there and do the demos, spend the time ahead of time, because then you're locked in. Once you've made that expense and you start training your employees, it's so much harder to turn around that boat, So you just got to put the time in ahead of time. I would say, you know, one of the things I hadn't even written down, but as you're doing the demos, think of who's going to be using it. And sometimes I'd invite those people into it. So I'd bring my management into it.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't me that needed to be own it and love it. It needed to be my team.
Yeah.
So I was paying for it, but in the end, that doesn't matter. Like it's if I'm going to pay for it and I have every manager behind my back saying, hey, this kind of sucks, or this isn't exactly what we wanted. So yeah, focusing on that. And then, you know, so how do you break up with bad software? You know, it's funny because it's me, not you. Just how you break up with in a relationship. It's me, not you. You know, I like to say my business is growing. My business is shifting. And every specific software has a unique kind of, you know, restaurant that it's for. Or amount of locations that it's for. Or amount of users that it's for. So it's an easy thing to say, look, my business is shifting. Yeah. I'm needing some more enterprise level thing, or
make sure it's what's right for you.
Yeah. Really in the end, it's like, who cares? Screw them. Like, it's your software. Yeah. It's your business. You got it.
That's a big thing to remember, survive. Is like, you're not beholden to any, you're running your business at the end of the day. And like, I see that when people get sucked into, even if it's just for purchasing inventory, they're like, we'll have to buy 60% from Cisco or else that's my contract or whatever. It's like, don't get yourself in those situations. Yeah. Like, you're a business. Like, you shouldn't have anyone else touching your wallet but you.
Exactly. And they, and they will, that's how they start, because they got to ask. They're not going to lose you. They're not going to drop you. It's still money for them.
Yeah.
They'd be silly to, especially nowadays. I mean, no. And so, yeah, all good points.
Great. So we went on, we talked about the good, the bad, and the ugly. Norwood, who is creating the next generation of great software?
So there's definitely a lot of people playing around this sphere, especially right now is like, technology is trying to catch up in the restaurant industry, and there's like a big vacuum compared to other spaces. Because you look at farming, and if you think like,
even farming's
why ahead. Isn't like what kind of tech could be coming out of farming? Like drones were invented by a farmer.
Yeah.
Like that's they're in a super innovative. Yeah. Like John Deere's, like those tractors are, you know, $500,000+ rolling computers. Like so.
Yeah, GPS tracking, farming. Yeah, exactly. They're really on it compared.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm more mind blown. The restaurant industry is so bad.
Yeah, we're like cavemen, and so there's a lot of space for people to jump into it. So there means there's a lot of people jumping into it, especially right now. So there's tons of startups. Yep. That's one of the biggest spots. Like we're here in the California. I'm coming from the Bay Area. So as you know, startup central Silicon Valley, like so like coming out there, that was super interesting to see, like and then just kind of be immersed in and like all those people creating. So it can be kind of tough when you're not in that space, like to find the startups. But that's another thing where forums, trade shows, those kind of things can introduce you, because it's a lot of that in the early stage. There's a lot of word of mouth, and someone will be like on a forum or something, or at a tradey that you're like going to, and someone's like, yeah, I use this and it's amazing. So you can get the by being in it to win it,
be
kind
involved.
Of thing.
Yeah.
Be involved. Yeah. It's a good way to get these like early kind of hints at like what's going to be the next big
thing.
To me,
it was trade shows.
Yeah.
Because then you're looking at the competition of all the other restaurants that are there, and you're like, why? How can I? If I would have stayed home, I would have missed all this.
And the biggest thing, a trade show, it's not the mall or something. Everyone there is also bringing something to the table.
Yep.
So even the guests walking the trade show might have something that's important. That's what I say. Yep. So it's not just the people in the booths that you're talking to, but it's other people that are doing with you. And then those are your co-conspirators in the restaurant biz.
Yeah.
And then,
I got more better ideas than customers at a trade show.
Totally.
Really.
Absolutely. Yeah. So say startups. And then that's a good way to kind of identify and find those, is like that word of mouth. But then the larger companies, that's the next step. And so it's always like, it's like investing. You want to be in the ground floor, and then that gives you those. But then next step is when the larger companies start buying up those startups.
Yep.
And then that's where you're going to be able to see like, but then you can be kind of led by like what the larger companies like kind of want their vision for their products to be, versus you using it as a tool that's best for you. So it's good to get it a little earlier, but the larger companies will start buying those up. And then a really interesting and unique thing is to get in with the educators and schools. So if you're near a technical like spot, like so we're near Cal Poly, Polytechnical, like anywhere that has a good computer program or like computer science, it's a big market that's easy to develop apps on. Mm-hmm. There's develop all sorts of
internships.
Things.
I got great developers.
Exactly. So it's stuff they're already, because it's a good market for the teachers to be using as examples for people to be. So a lot of these people are working like we're in the space of restaurant delivery, like work on your assignments, like work on an app, like a clone of something, like so it's a coding exercise. But
I love how they're working with that.
So
super inspiring to see these guys.
Yeah, and the cool stuff with that is if you get in there at that spot, they're looking for information from the real world to apply to that stuff we're working. So you can get in, get betas of software. You can get in there to get your input going directly to the people creating it. So then you can even have like these things kind of refined more for what your tastes are by being there and being. So it's all another million times you say this, get involved with your community. Like, and that's part of it. Yep. So it's the educators, like we were talking about advertising on our last series and where to spend. And we were saying a great spot is like these universities, like campuses, like, you know, get some banner ads for the baseball team or something like that. And like, it's a great way to spend like that. And so while you're on campus, go to the computer science department.
Your market is 5 miles around you. So you don't have to go that far.
And then the community gets a lot of this. So look at your local, state, and national level government stuff. They dip their toes in these things. And that can be more on the regulation side of things. But yeah, they're getting involved with it as well. So like, there's lots of spots where you can find the next step of what's going on. And there's all sorts of like, so you don't have to get hit with like, what's the biggest, sparkliest thing on the billboard kind of thing, go that. But there's actual usable stuff that's in so many other spots that are kind of like, not where you're really thinking, like the schools, your community, like,
it's everywhere. Yeah. Being in tech in the last 5 years, I've seen it. It's everywhere. It's growing and it's all over the place at every level. Like you're saying, the sparkly ones that are, that people just don't have the time. They want everything in a box and just a good name. And then there's people that are like literally want the garage tech, something that they could actually, I've met restaurant owners that are like, I come from development and they want to be part of the process to help you even create a better product.
And that's what I was going to say. That's one of the last like kind of, like you're an example, but the person that's listening to this right now might be, because everyone has a big bag of skills and it's not just like I'm behind the grill and I can only, so like these are things that if you have a great idea out there, there is still a lot of meat on the bone. So there's something, if you have a good idea where you're like, man, I'm missing this. If you, the market's so open right now where if you're looking at something every day where you're like, man, I wish I had something that did this, there's, go make that.
Go make it. That's what made me jump. It was like I was trying to find the all-in-one. I mean, you know, I was trying to create, and it wasn't there. So I was like, well, then I'm going to develop it for myself. Once I developed it for my own restaurants, which took a couple years, and I thought it was going to, I realized a lot of people needed it.
Yeah. There's a point when you say to yourself, someone needs to make this over and over again, when it should click on, you're like, well, I should help make this, or I should pass this idea on to like some friends who can, or like push this idea. But yeah, there's that point of like, you can only say, I really need this, or someone should make this so many times before you like take action to help. Like, like
someone will hear you and go do it for you.
So, Javier.
Yes.
Rumor has it that you have created a pretty solid restaurant management software suite. Let's talk about the process of creating that.
So Javier, in a quick, what is the software that you developed? It's called Cheddar Suite.
It's called Cheddar Suite. It's really, it's an all-in-one software management tool. And I, when I originally started, it was more looking at it through my lens of managing all these people and what I needed out of it. So I started with that layer. Then once I started getting out there to sell it, I realized it needs to be developed and created for the employees and work my, and work its way up. Like kind of what we said, because the manager, the owners will pay for it. But if it's not getting used and they don't find relevancy in what it is, then it's the all in one. It's what we talked about, scheduling, shift to shift communication. And it literally all started with shift to shift communication.
So what did you say was some of the key elements with your software, like Cheddar Suite?
Scheduling, shift to shift communication, inventory. And then the reporting analytics. Integrating into the top 20 POS systems was the key. Because of how
it, so it's usable.
It's exactly, because then at that point it's kind of like, well, it's great, but it's on its own island again, and I need to transfer information from here to here. So it was like, if you can create and give everyone a snapshot without them having to do that work on the back, you win.
So he seems like, so the development was more need-based than just like a kind of blue sky idea.
100% need-based.
Yeah.
And that's where it always comes from the best, I believe. Everything you develop comes from, you know, actually being the end user, seeing what's lacking, and then seeing the need for it.
So what features did you, what went into deciding the features that you guys like focused in on with the software?
It was straight, again, need. So yeah. At first it was, I was on a phone call, and it's a funny story, but we have a little time. I was on a phone call with a guy, and I was using this software. I won't say the name, but he was bringing in like millions in revenue a year,
yeah.
And it was a simple software, and that instantly went, well, there's a need for this, obviously, and then I just, you know, started paying for it. One location, two locations. Once I got paying for it at six locations, then I realized, wow, I could develop it cheaper than I'm paying for this. I could literally hire a coder cheaper than what I'm paying across this at six locations. Yeah. And it was only one layer of Cheddar Suite.
Yeah.
So once we started developing that and doing that, then it made more sense to continue, keep going. I'm like, okay, well, now I'm paying for scheduling. I started seeing it through that lens of, you know, save money and just develop it myself. Once I got to the scheduling, the shift to shift, I was like, okay, there's something here. And the all-in-one, which I my only competitor at that time was Restaurant 365. And, we started, you know, to continue down that road. You know, you never know in the end what it's going to be. I don't, you know, it always, you got to, you know, be fluid. And I just kept my eyes and ears open, listening to my managers, listening and seeing what my restaurants, but I became addicted to what's needed, listening to my staff.
Yeah. And so especially, say, using the term like all in one, like having that suite that's got kind of everything under one roof.
Still connects to your POS system.
Mm-hmm. Too many things, like a Swiss Army knife can only be too big before, you know, it doesn't fit in the pocket anymore.
Yeah.
So what features did you decide to leave out? Like what kind of things to kind of trim the fat to make sure it's streamlined? Like what were things there that you maybe wanted and like had to kind of snip away?
That's a good, I had to make the differentiate between front of house and back of house. That's how I ended up splitting it because it is two different worlds.
Yeah.
They kind of cross over a little, but when it comes to software, they'll integrate and they can speak to one POS and kind of do the same job. But it was more of that. It was like, do I want to do the loyalty programs, the rewards for the staff, the customers? Do I want to focus on the people coming in, you know, or do I want to focus on people I have that I'm hired in-house?
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was really how I separated that.
What are a few key ways, like if you're looking at a restaurant that doesn't have this kind of software and you introduce it, what are the couple of the key spots that are like most noticeable impacted changes that restaurant now like is like adapting?
Well, it was that they were using so many different systems that they didn't and then have the time to dissect it all and rip apart all the analytics.
Yeah.
That's how I was originally with my restaurant. So I had four whiteboards striped in my office just to take in the analytics of all the different, you know, systems I was using to have it make sense to me. And so then I was like, man, in this world of integration and in this world of my software can talk to yours. Why am I still doing this old school? Yeah. Why am I still literally opening up all these screens and taking all this information? That was the key. And some companies like Toast have taken it to the whole nother level where they go, and we'll give you the POS and we'll give you the hardware.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of restaurants that go, you know, I have enough headaches and enough issues trying to, you know, install a fryer and get my menu set up.
Yeah.
The last thing I'm doing is picking six pieces of software.
Yeah.
And so Toast nailed all that. So they're like, okay, it's out of a box. You can open up. But people are also getting a lot more sophisticated when it comes to what they want out of their tech. And so now they're seeing the all-in-one as, I'm smarter than that. I could actually integrate and I get the whole world. So yeah, it's a little bit, you know, it's a mixed bag out
there. It's like we were talking about it before, like greasing the wheels to make it usable.
Yeah.
Like you say, like,
it needs to just be
creating your own systems to be able to just decipher all the intel, like what the data you're getting, like all this stuff. It makes it so many barriers before you're actually using it. Like
that's what I was trying to break, the barriers to entry. The all-in-one, and can people have that information they want when they log in? They have a dashboard of the real information that they want, customized.
Yeah, because collecting data, like that's a whole profession. Like that's a whole job. Yeah. Like and you're a chef in a spot or a restaurateur running a spot. Like, you don't need another full set of jobs, like collecting organizing data.
And you don't hire somebody for that job.
Yeah, exactly. You need the stuff that's All right, I can look at it. I can make some decisions based on that. I can move on to my next thing. I don't have all day to sit here and like collect and organize and like interpret stuff. Yeah. Like I just need to see the raw data in a way that communicates to other aspects where it's pertinent. And then
it's why multiple locations and chains, the, you know, the management ends up opening a, like a hub, like a central corporate office.
Yeah.
And it's just for data,
yeah.
Literally just to get all the analytics and all the information flowing through all these places and, you know, and dissect it all. So that's where I was like, man, there's a better way.
So last question. If you could start the whole project over, and this is,
would I do it? No,
no, but, what different approaches would you take in the development of the software?
I don't know if I would have done it differently just cause I don't know of another way. It was a, you know, as a need basis, kind of as I was growing it, I would probably now partner more with a, rather than I'm a POS system or I integrate with 20 POS systems for the future of it, I would probably partner with only a handful to begin with, because then you're not, none of them look at you as valuable. You're bringing something to them. You know, it's kind of like, okay, that's a side thing. I would partner closer to a POS company and develop things. Because in the end, what am I looking for? I'm looking to exit. I'm looking to actually have my software be integrated into a POS system. I'm looking for them to buy me. You know, so if I don't have an end user and I'm developing it for everyone, it's harder to find my exit.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the word from the horse's mouth. The, yeah, it's cool having you here. Like, it's just, like, what we try, that's why we started this project, is to be able to have our broad scope of like backgrounds and stuff to like share as much knowledge as we can. And so it's good to be able to dive into a little bit of one of your projects and open it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Let's hop into questions from our listeners. So we actually have a question. It says, how do I implement the usage of software? I have spent thousands of dollars but cannot get my staff to get in the habit of using it. They do not like change or see the value in it.
Ugh, no one likes change. I would involve them from the beginning.
I was about to say, like,
yeah,
transparency lets them understand the value of it.
And that you're going out of your way to buy something for them to help their life. People don't want to be thrown another responsibility or another task.
Yeah.
So don't look at it that way. Look at it as like, I'm helping you eliminate tasks. I'm helping you with your responsibility. Yeah. So I want you involved in the buying process.
And this is something that, I think is kind of telling of other issues that might be going on in the restaurant too. If people are unwilling to take on new tasks and stuff, is that because you're an absentee owner and you're just dumping things on people?
They already have too much on their plate.
Exactly. And do they know they're not going to get the support to be able to facilitate like learning and the training there? Are they going to have the training there? Are they going to have the time for it? Because a lot of these things, if especially like the owners that are just like, you know, I throw money at it, it works and then sends me back my returns.
Those owners leave me a bad taste in my mouth. Yeah. I do not like that. I just recently, you know, found out about some owners ever. It's the ego. It's the like, I just have a restaurant. That is going to build what that type of environment.
A lot of people throw those things on. They're like, do this because I told you to, kind of attitude and stuff with it, which is you can't go in like with those kind of things. So it's one of those things where if you are already, if you implement something, if you're making sure the training's there, the tools are there, I say the difference between like just someone who's a manager and someone who's an actual leader is by making sure you're getting people to buy into the goal that you have. And so you have a shared vision and they're buying into that. That's a leader. Manager's there to just kind of tell you what to do. Like someone told me to tell you to do this.
That was the biggest change. I'm glad you said a leader.
Yeah.
Until I implemented shift leaders into my schedule, the whole game changed.
Yeah.
Before that, it was everyone's just kind of on the same boat trying, and the owner's not here, so you know, who cares? After that, I was like, you know what? For an extra few dollars that I'm giving this one person, I don't have to be slave here, and I don't have to stay here because they care about it. And it's not typically the money that ever did it. It was me finding that one employee that loved it, and they love the fact that now, because I see that they're really involved and that they care about the business, I'm going to give them the title of a shift leader.
Yeah,
that's all they wanted. Because they were already doing it anyways, but they weren't getting the respect of it unless I was there.
They want to know that, they're, we've talked about this before with the, was it 40% of people that are, you know, in a wage earning space, their individual paycheck isn't the most important thing to them. Yeah. It's the growth, the pathway of growth, the recognition, that stuff. So that's just as important in identifying these things, because you can keep throwing money at someone.
More important.
You should take care of everyone. Totally. Take care of everyone and give them like what their work outputs like deserve it of everything too. Mm-hmm. But it's also, it's not just, here's an extra couple bucks, but it's also like the path of like growth. It's saying like, hey, you're killing it, shift leader, you know, I've got six spots, you know, every one of them needs an overall like
a
manager.
You lay out like, that path. Yeah. So being between a Jamba Juice and a Starbucks, that's what I realized. I'm not getting good hires. And I was like, well, they're big names and they're big. Everyone knows them. Everyone wanted to work for the smaller outfit for the cooler place in town.
Yeah.
And they just weren't coming to me because I wasn't giving them that path to success at all. And I was just like, you're just an employee. No one wants that. You know, they want, I'm coming in now. Where am I in 6 months? Or else they're not looking long-term either. So figure that out.
It's a long answer for like a question like that. But I mean, there isn't a short answer to like, how do I tell these people to do what I told them to? It's like, well, you should have been doing some other things. Like you can't. And if you aren't now, the way to get them to kind of buy in is to start implement these things. Yeah. Like show respect, like show them that path to like growth and stuff.
I like how you said that, because it isn't, that's not a simple answer.
Yeah.
There's a lot more underlying issues of why that's happening.
Yeah, exactly. So like, there's other tasks. Yeah. Get them that overall buy in. And then, but then that makes it, put in the work to do that. Yeah. That means every time you do get the new software and stuff, you've created systems that just smooth it out, because we've talked about restaurants should have a facelift and kind of like a freshening up every 5 to 7 years. And so
that's why all the big boys do it. Every franchise, it's in their FDD. Every 5 to 7 years, they have a set amount of money they need to rebrand. Because also, I mean, people, your customers want to know that the money's going back into the business.
So change should be built into the DNA of your restaurant. Yep. So these kind of things, it's a telling sign of like, you're stagnant, your staff's not happy. It's so many, it's the canary
It's a little warning, because or else it's going to fall apart before you know it. Yeah, your staff's like, they haven't done change. They haven't listened to me. You don't want to get there.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and it's tough to come back from there.
Yeah.
And usually what it takes is like big rehires.
I had to go through it in one location. I stepped away for so long. I had to do a complete rehire of the kitchen.
Yeah.
Because of that.
Yeah. And it's, I always call that like those, it's kind of like putting someone in the wrong position or like those kind of things. It's not 100% their fault.
No, it's
like
not.
You've slowly fired them by not doing your job.
You slowly
as
killed
leader.
Them. Yeah. 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 Wow. That's a good point.
So, well, we have beamed ourselves back on board the USS Yes Chef Productions, and we've concluded this week's adventure. We explored some of the more basic elements of restaurant software to give you a foundation to grow your understanding on. And next week, we will be growing that foundation by exploring issues and topics in the industry with tech and software. We will see you next week. Super. Thank you so much for taking your time to listen to us.